Hello and welcome to the Pre-Alpha Podcast. With me this week is John Baldassera.
Hello.
I'm Giles. Michael, again, is not here. He's on holiday.
You might be in the woods, yeah.
Yeah, he's lost in the woods somewhere.
Figuratively and literally, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, or he's bowling. He was bowling the other day.
Yeah.
In the woods.
That's all we know.
Who knows? Anyway, we're back again.
Mm-hmm.
Just keeping it up. Was it last week we did this? I can't remember. It feels like longer.
Maybe we missed a week. I don't know.
Hmm.
No, it was last week, because you were on about Sonic last time. That feels like it was recent.
Sure. For some reason, like, time has just slowed down really extensively for me. I think it's because I've barely played any video games recently, and they are time vampires.
They
so
are
to
time
speak.
Vampires. And you've been off work.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
Yeah, you're just kind of drifting along.
It just slows things down. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So. It's nice. I like it because, you know, things go too fast. It just gets faster and faster as you get older. It's scary.
It is true.
So it's nice that everything's just chilled out. Anyway, John, how you doing?
I thought you've been going as fast as possible, though.
I have. Did have to go fast.
Yeah.
Because I've been finished Sonic Mania.
How's that?
It's good. That level that I was talking about. It was actually a Sonic 2 level, apparently.
the oil one.
I've never played through Sonic 2 that far. Yeah. It's a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not... I don't think it's amazing, but it's a really good Sonic 3 2, I guess.
Okay, yeah, sure.
with remix stages. The new stages are probably the best parts of it.
I bet, yeah.
Although, the twists they do on the old stages are also really fun, like, from a nostalgic standpoint. Like, I don't know if I want... Is it okay for me to spoil bosses and stuff, do you think?
No, because I know what one of the bosses is, and it's such a good surprise.
Yeah, but, I kind of really want to tell you about it.
I might know one of them.
It's
early on. Second stage.
No.
Okay,
I know that's really cool. That one you talked about, but I'm thinking about a different one.
Basically,
do you remember Metallic Madness in Sonic CD?
You get shrunk.
Yeah, I totally forgot about getting shrunk. That is like a pretty key part of the boss in that stage, and it's awesome.
Oh,
it's so good. In like a really fucking silly and fun way.
Cool.
Go
on, man. Just go on.
If you do not want to hear Sonic Mania spoilers, skip ahead approximately 1 minute. Right. So Robotnik's a floating gachapon machine.
Yeah.
And you hit it, and mini versions of Robotnik bosses pop out, and you have to fight them as mini Sonic.
Fuck.
And then with the second time, every other time. And the other time that you hit them... mini versions of like a robot Amy come out and try to hug you, and when they hug you, they self-destruct.
Like in Sonic
so
CD.
Good.
how much is this game?
it's fucking amazing.
Yeah, did you get? I could tell if it's too good of a. That is good.
Spoiler.
You could always put a little disclaimer in, like skip forward a minute or whatever. But
okay, sure.
That is cool, man. I should play this game eventually.
The bosses are probably the standout part at times.
Cool.
Man. Yeah.
The other boss that I know about is really, really good as well, but we won't spoil that one at all. It's early on.
Sure.
It's really good.
It's cool.
At the end of the year, when we do our big list of game of the year style stuff, we normally spoil stuff, so we can discuss it at length then. But
yeah,
that sounds class. Is there anything else you've played through, or...?
No, I've been playing like a little bit of Darkest Dungeon.
Oh yeah.
I'll be like, all right, I've done enough. Whatever else I've been doing, studying Japanese or exercising or whatever, and being like, hey, I'm gonna take a little break and play a dungeon, single dungeon, and then come back to it. I've been playing it on the Radiant difficulty, which is like easy mode. Well, it's fast mode basically, instead of grinding out dungeons over and over again to get the materials to upgrade the town, which is the actual important part of the game, rather than upgrading your characters who can just, die or whatever. It doesn't really matter that much. that stuff takes fucking forever on the normal difficulty. So it just kind of gives you like a million of them so you can actually progress at a reasonable pace. So I've been playing through that and getting to like the harder dungeons, and it's just kind of, it's just the numbers get bigger. Like, it's not really, it doesn't get any more interesting at all. It's like, hey, the enemy's now blue shaded instead of green shaded.
Kind of like
Neo. And
they
have a higher defense.
Yeah.
Kind of. But, like, more so because the gameplay is also, click on this guy, use this ability.
It's not about reaction.
And you're making decisions, but you're pretty much making the same decisions as when you fought these guys last time.
Sure.
So, I don't know. It's okay. Maybe I'm just going to drop it again. I've reached about the same point I did when I played it on normal mode, but it took me like 40 hours that time, and it's taken me 10 hours this time, so I could...
Sure.
I don't know.
It's not like there's a lack of other stuff to play at the minute as well. Like,
that's true. I really want to get back into Yakuza when I'm stopped once I've been ill.
Yeah, sure.
It's the worst. That's about it. I had a lot of fun playing Sonic Mania. I think it's if like you want to play Sonic 3 but with more levels, then go for it.
That's the thing.
Totally. 100%.
I want to see it. But I don't want to see it on a stream. Like, I want to see it at native resolution looking nice on a TV. Yeah. But I don't know if I want to play it.
Okay.
You know, like,
I'll bring it over next time I'm
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can check it out. What console do you have it on?
Switch.
Oh, okay, right, yeah, sure. Does the PayPal thing, because you can use PayPal to pay for stuff on Switch now.
Yeah.
Can you actually just buy it from any region? Because I think the Russian store is meant to be really, really cheap, so you can get, like, Sonic Mania for, like, $9 off there. Because if that's the case, maybe I'll just put up the money and just go through it.
I don't know. I feel like they put things in place to stop you from doing that. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'll check it out. Never mind. Maybe I'll just fucking buy it. I'll wait for it to be on sale on the PSN or something. Just because, like, I want to hear it. I want to hear the music, and I want to see it, and I want to see all these cool little boss battles and, like, little cameos and stuff like that. But playing Sonic, I don't know if I've got it in me anymore. Like, I like the idea of going through Sonic CD because I love the music so much and the visuals and just the overall feel of that game, like, aesthetically. But I don't know. It seems like too much effort to endure playing Sonic for that reward. But maybe I'm being too harsh.
I don't know. You liked Sonic 3 when you played it. And maybe your opinion of Sonic is... Yeah, but it's still not a bad game.
No, I don't think it's bad. But I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe you need to just give it another go.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I worked out how to do the jump dash thing as well, and it's fucking amazing.
Cool.
It just makes you go all the time. It's not like stop and start. It's like just, hey, I'm jumping and I hold down jump again after pressing it, and then I go really fast.
Yeah.
And I don't have to fuck around.
That sounds good.
Waiting to come to a complete stop before I press down.
Sure.
It makes so much sense.
For all Sonic's given me in my life, I feel like I do owe him this. At least.
It's not real.
Yeah. Well, I owe Sega this. Sega are doing amazingly. Sega are the kings this year, as far as I'm concerned. So,
yeah.
If you include Atlas in that, which, why not? So,
just play Yakuza, it's fine.
I will be tomorrow. I can't
wait. That's good enough.
Yeah.
So what have you been playing? You've been playing games.
I haven't
been playing anything.
I've played through two whole games. I played Uncharted The Lost Legacy, which is...
Yeah.
It was planned as DLC for Uncharted 4. And then they expanded it into a standalone release, but kind of like a budget-priced standalone release. I think with like the little Amazon Prime, with the Amazon Prime discount, it only cost me £22. And it's kind of like an Uncharted game, but about half the length of Uncharted 4, so about 8 hours-ish. And it's like set, like the only other than it being a lot shorter, the only other thing where I'm like, oh yeah, this is why it's cheaper, is that it's set in kind of like one location. There's like a little city portion at the start, which was shown in the gameplay reveal. Then the rest of it is basically one big environment. I mean, there's like ruins and different cool things within that environment. But for the most part, it's like a beautiful big jungle thing that you're exploring. So it doesn't have like the globetrotting aspect of the other games in the series. But I enjoyed that game so much more than Uncharted 4 overall. I think it being 8 hours and being a lot tighter in that regard, like, it just didn't get boring, like, ever. By the end of Uncharted 4, as much as I loved a lot of the stuff in the story and a lot of the gameplay, it felt like I was like, well, I'm going to climb this again and shoot these guys again and climb this again. It got a bit much towards the end. Whereas this, after this game, I was like, I want one of these 8-hour Uncharted games, like, every 18 months, forever. You know? Like, it was just, like, really refreshing and kind of reinvigorated. Like, I enjoyed Uncharted 4. I'm not dissing it. But by the end of it, I was like, yeah, that's enough Uncharted.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas this was like,
nah. That's how I am now.
Yeah. Still. No, but you haven't played this. But...
I'm saying, like, still after Uncharted 4, I'm just like, I don't want to play Uncharted for another, like, year and a half, two years.
And for the for the first quarter of this game, I kind of still felt like that. But when I got a bit more wrapped up in the story and some cool stuff started happening later on, I was like, okay, I'm all the way in again. And the characters that it features are kind of... Well, I like Nadine in Uncharted 4, who was, like, the new character who led the mercenary group, like, the South African character. And I always thought Chloe was okay, but I much prefer, like, Elena and Sully, like, as far as side characters go. So I was like, I wasn't that excited for this. But I was like, it'd be nice to play a game with Jess. We haven't really sat down and done that for a while. And this is, like, really story-heavy, which is always good to play with another person. And she, like, actually played a couple of hours of it as well, so we passed the controller back and forth a bit, and it was just like really, really fun. Just like a really good self-contained adventure. And I really, really, really recommend it. Like, it escalates really nicely as well. I don't want to spoil any of the set pieces or anything like that, but the end's really cool and like left me wanting more of this, though. Like, not a big continuous story like Uncharted was. Like, just more like, let's see what Sully's up to this year, you know? Like, an 8-hour Sully adventure, or an 8-hour Elena adventure, where she's, like, going around taking photos and interviewing people. Like, I think those games are so well-written and so well-presented that this format works really well. So that's my Uncharted Lost Legacy review. Very, very good.
Does it suffer the slow start of Uncharted?
Well, yeah, but it's all 4. No, not to that extent. it's all compressed.
That would be half the game.
It suffers the slow start of like Uncharted 2, maybe. Like, you know, Uncharted 2, like, you got like the stealth section at the start. It's a bit like that. Like the first maybe half an hour is like you just walking around, and then it kind of escalates really nicely, and then there's kind of like an open world section quite early on, like a little mini world waiting. There's kind of optional stuff to do. And it's nice because it's not quest markers or anything like that. It's very much Chloe has like a physical map, much like Nathan has his diary in the other games. So you have to kind of keep looking at the map. And it does mark where you are on that map. But it's like, let's go and investigate these rooms over here. And the dialogue like responds really naturally to when you go to like a point where there's obviously a scripted event taking place. It just feels right, even though you can do it in any order and explore in any order. Like, the dialogue drifts in and out as well as it would have in, like, a linear portion of those games, if you know what I mean. Like, the characters will be talking, and then they'll dynamically react to something. And even though you can kind of, like, choose the order and things like that, it still flows like it's scripted perfectly, like those games always have done, which is really encouraging. And open world always scares me a little bit, because I'd rather have like a really nicely, tightly told story. But after playing this, I was like, maybe they could expand this and do something like this in The Last of Us 2 or a future IP or something, and still have that level of like quality presentation and polish. So that was really cool. And even though the stuff you're doing is basically, go here and solve this puzzle or shoot these dudes, it's still quite nice. Like, it did break it up a bit, and I did enjoy the open world chunk a little bit more than I was expecting to.
Good.
Yeah, very good. And then the other game I played straight afterwards, pretty much, was What Remains of Edith Finch, because we wanted more story. We wanted more nice story games, and then I remembered you'd bought that on Steam and said it was really good. So we played through that, and that, like, just to echo your sentiments, it's really, really inventive and creative and really, really memorable. It was a really cool game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I, like, thoroughly enjoyed it.
it's tough to talk about.
Yeah, it's just really experimental in the way it tells its story. Like, it's just a lot of really, really cool ideas, like little mechanic ideas and little presentation or visual ideas implemented into this, like, pretty basic but overall really interesting story.
Yeah. Yeah. It does a really good job of kind of portraying the way characters think or feel through mechanics.
Yeah, totally. It's like little separate really vignettes. Clever. Yeah. It's class.
Yeah.
We can't really say much more about it than that. The only thing I didn't like, which is the most pet peeve, not really a pet peeve, it's just the most picky thing ever. It's like didn't like the font.
Okay. I didn't notice. Okay. It seemed okay to me.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. But
that's like the most meaningless criticism ever. But you know, you gotta analyze these things, I suppose, if you've got a podcast. overall, like, two really great story-driven games in a row. Very excited to jump into Yakuza Kiwami tomorrow as well. So yeah, after since Persona 5, I've kind of been in a lull, just playing things here and there, not really wholeheartedly jumping into anything except maybe Neo. But now I feel pretty good about games again.
Yeah,
that's good.
I don't even think of what I've played since Persona 5. It's all just a blur. I'm sure I've played some good games.
Oh, definitely. So have I. Like, I liked Horizon. I love Neo, but I don't know.
I haven't played Horizon yet.
Yeah.
Get around to that.
It's not that great. Yeah. Uncharted's way better if you want, like, a third-person walk-around, shoot things.
I played Bayonetta after Persona 5.
Okay, that's a pretty great game. I'll lend you Uncharted, though. I think you'll enjoy it overall.
Hollow Knight. That's good.
Okay.
I'll give it a go. Did you buy a physical copy or did you download it?
Physical. Like, since Brexit, like, it doesn't really make sense to buy stuff digitally anymore on the US store because it's not cheaper anymore. And you can always sell games back or lend them to friends. So, just makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I got like 30 quid when I traded Mario Kart 8 in, man. Like,
pretty good.
Physical games have the benefits that people don't really think about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, I'm sure some people do.
Yeah.
Speaking of buying games, I believe Tesco has like a £5 off voucher for when you spend over £30 or £35, so you can get, you know, probably some Nintendo games on the cheap.
Yeah, probably. Nice.
I think you can get Mario Odyssey, sure, for like £37, which is not too bad.
On the website?
I'm gonna pre-order that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I might get that done too.
Just a code somewhere.
Cool.
Yeah,
nice, that's a good tip.
Yeah, I guess we'll move on to the news, no games played, well, very few. You kind of skirted over Uncharted pretty quick.
Because... Anything
else to add about, or it's just Uncharted?
It is just Uncharted, but that's good. And I don't know, man. Like, I'm really glad I didn't watch any trailers for this other than, like, the one at PSX. And I kind of watched the E3 one, but I was also really drunk and kind of I'd disappointed that they were just showing Uncharted instead of something new. So I was just like, whatever. And I didn't really watch it. But, like, a lot of the cool moments in that game were I went in totally fresh. So maybe that's part of the reason I liked it more than 4. Whereas 4, like, that crazy massive like action set piece in the middle I'd already seen before playing the game, so it was kind of all a bit underwhelming in that regard.
Yeah,
whereas this I didn't see anything coming, and it was very nice in that respect. So don't watch any trailers if you haven't. That's all I've really got to add.
Okay,
don't watch
that's
any
great, that's pretty good advice.
Don't watch trailers for anything, maybe,
for the most part.
I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
maybe
I didn't watch any trailers for that Spider-Man movie, really, either, and I really enjoyed it. And then you guessed the entire plot of the movie based on the trailers you'd seen in the exact order that the plot actually unfolds. So,
yeah,
I think it is good advice for everything.
Yeah, I haven't seen that film yet.
It's all right.
I should probably.
I liked it.
It'll be out on Blu-ray soon, won't it?
November. I'll check it out. I'll buy it.
Okay. Gamescom happened.
It did.
What, no, like, nothing got announced or revealed?
Wait, Microsoft never announced anything because they've got, like, fucking no first party studios.
They have nothing to announce.
Working on anything interesting ever. Sorry. Like
they were like, look at this Xbox One X that looks like a Minecraft block. Wow. And everyone's just like, what?
Like, I just don't have any faith since Scalebound got cancelled. Like, and that might not be Microsoft's fault overall, you know, I'm not blaming them per se, but they don't have anything interesting at all.
Yeah.
To me, at least. A lot of third-party deals and that kind of thing. Like, look how good Assassin's Creed looks on this. Like, I'm okay.
They did announce Age of Empires 3.
Oh, that's pretty big news.
Age of Empires 4, sorry. 3 happened, but no one cared because it was bad. That's big.
Yeah, that's really big.
Could be good. Being developed by Relic, who make the Dawn of War franchise.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
And Company of Heroes.
Cool. So is that...
So that's... Could be good.
Don't Sega own them, or am I thinking of someone else?
They used to be part of THQ?
Yeah.
I want to say.
I think Sega bought them, because Sega published the Dawn of War stuff, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know if they bought them or they just published the film.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Or is Sega's dominance going to continue? It's weird to think about, but it's true.
We'll see.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I just don't really... I keep trying to persuade myself to buy an Xbox One S, at least, just for the 4K Blu-ray player, and I just... If Scalebound was on the way, I'd do it, man. But there's just nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing exciting for me. It's a shame. Yeah. Shenmue. There was a Shenmue trailer.
Yeah, that looks okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a...
I don't know, I think the character models look pretty awful.
Yeah, they just look like modern Dreamcast models in a lot of ways. I mean,
yeah,
he said that all of the facial animation was taken out before the trailer because they're still working on it. So that's not that's not how it's going to end up, hopefully. But I don't know. It just looked like Shenmue. I don't know what people were expecting from a Kickstarter game. Like, to be honest, it looked way better than I imagined it would. Like, the environments looked really, really pretty, to me at least. I was expecting, like, a Tales of level, like, super bland-looking environments. But,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, $6 million isn't a lot of money to make a game.
Yeah, they're getting funding from Sony.
I know. Of course they are, but I don't know. It's still a Kickstarter game. Like,
we'll see.
Shovel Knight is what I was expecting. No offense to Shovel Knight. It's a great game. Yeah. Anything else from Gamescom?
Let me have a look.
What happened to that Blizzard event that you were so excited for? Did Warcraft 3 remaster happen?
And they were like, we've got a big announcement. And then they just didn't announce anything. They were like, here's stuff you already knew about.
Yeah.
And then it ended and I was like, huh, that's not Warcraft 3.
There's a video of someone from Overwatch brushing the teeth or something, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think she might have brushed her teeth.
I don't know. I saw a screenshot of someone Overwatch brushing the teeth. Short. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, my prediction was that they'd announce Tracer.
It was pretty bad.
Tracer was getting hair extensions, so was I more on the ball than you were?
Maybe. I don't know. They unveiled the new patch for World of Warcraft, which we already knew about, so it's not really a reveal, but I don't know. Mm. I don't know, man. When are they going to make Warcraft 3 HD? I'm not even asking for Warcraft 4 like everyone else is.
You want something reasonable.
Yeah, it's low not like risk. I want like Half-Life 3's story to be unveiled.
That's a nice little segue. So what happened with that?
Which also happened. Yeah. So basically a former Valve writer unveiled what was going to be, at least originally, the plot of Half-Life 2 Episode 3.
Yes.
Coded, so he like changed names and everything, but it was very clearly, Half-Life 3 Episode, Half-Life 2 Episode 3, or Half-Life 3. It seemed pretty brief, and it was a really cool story as well. It was like a really, like,
satisfying.
Not satisfying ending, because it ends on a cliffhanger like every fucking Half-Life game does. But like, in a way that kind of ended
the
Gordon
arc.
Freeman's story.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Like G-Man isn't explained or anything. It's just the end of the story, and it's really cool. Like there's like ideas that they put in there that is just like, oh, that would be a fucking awesome level.
Yeah,
you know, like the Borealis, the tanker that they're going to find, which has crazy powers that'll be useful for the Combine, so they need to get rid of it. Is like it's transferring through dimensions constantly, and they get onto it, and it's like this crazy, mad ghost ship kind of thing traveling through time and space while you're fucking killing dudes and stuff. Like, that would be super cool.
Yeah.
And you can also see why it would have been really fucking hard to develop
it
in a really satisfying way. like, they were going to link Aperture Science to it, the portal world.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff like that. Like, it's really interesting what they were going to do. Like, I genuinely feel like it... The story is an allegory for the
development.
Troubled development of Half-Life. Because it's like, it's the ship is the game, and like, the people on the ship are steering it, and it's flying through different dimensions and shit, and they're like, maybe we'll link it to Paul, maybe we won't link it to Paul, maybe we'll do this with it, maybe we'll do that with it. And then in the end, Alex kills, I can't remember the name, the doctor. And it's basically like, okay, she kills him, we're going this way with the story, and then G-Man drags her out. And it's like, it feels like it was just like, okay, we've decided the story, then the person who decided the course to take gets thrown out. They end up finding out that the course that they're taking is fucking worthless, because it's not going to work, because everything's way too big. And then they just kind of... run away. So it's basically everyone just leaving Valve, feels like, is the story.
Maybe it isn't actually a leaked plot. Maybe it's just...
It might not be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it is just him being like, here's some... Well, not really fan fiction, because he was a writer, so fiction. But, you know.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's writing it from Gordon Freeman's perspective.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, he sees himself as...
Sure.
The guy who was meant to be leading it, but didn't,
yeah, sure.
You know... That kind of thing. I don't know. It's interesting. It's a good... It's a good read. You should go and read it. It's really, really cool.
Yeah. Is the nail in the coffin, then? Is this the final nail? What do you say?
I mean, he also tweeted a few days later saying, this was just one of the many ideas, and that's not necessarily the way it was going to go, so...
Yeah.
I think he's leaving it open. Probably just to stop the fucking crazy backlash that's been happening after the fact.
Backlash?
People are going on the Dota 2 Steam page and rating it down because they believe that it's Dota 2's fault that Half-Life 3 didn't get made and shit like that.
People are just
flipping out about how it's dead and hate Valve now and everything and all that stuff. So he's probably just trying to damage control, is my opinion. I do think it's probably dead.
Yeah, it's a shame. That it really sucks for, I don't know, like, it'd be like Metal Gear Solid 3 being the last Metal Gear and never getting the Patriots shit tied up. Like, I wouldn't be able to cope with that very well either. even though it's just a game, like, ultimately. But I got really attached to that franchise, you know, so I totally understand people's frustration.
Oh, just fucking... how disappointing Metal Gear Solid 5 was.
Yeah, but at least that I could rationalize. The story's complete. Big Boss and Solid Snake smoking together. Spoilers for Metal Gear Solid 4. Like, it's... you know? Like, that... If anything, Phantom Pain was just, like, an extra little side story. You know?
Yeah, but it was still disappointing.
It was disappointing.
Very strongly disappointing.
But I think, like, the Half-Life 3... Like, to compare it to the Half-Life 3 or Episode 3 thing is more like Metal Gear Solid 4 never happened. Like, that's...
Yeah,
all sure. of these loose ends never tied up. Whereas... The Metal Gear story feels complete, you know? Can't complain.
Yeah, no,
I'm
just saying, like, even an ancillary story,
yeah,
like
it
Metal
sucked.
Gear Solid 5,
it still hurts.
Kind of devastating. Yeah. So to not be able to get Half-Life 3
you're right. Yeah.
closed out is
so,
like...
Yeah. I have sympathy, but, like, fucking leave Dota alone. Like, it's its own thing. You know?
It's a good game. Dota is no longer the most played game on Steam.
PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds?
Yes. It's It's been overtaken by PlayerUnknown Battleground. I assume it's bouncing back and forth. It's within thousands, or it was within thousands when I checked this morning. Hang on, let's have a look. Okay, Dota 2's over again. But the peaks were 877,000 for PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds and 838,000 for Dota.
Sure, it makes sense, man. Like, the appeal of Battlegrounds seems so much broader. It's so easy to understand, right?
It's crazy in the fact that Dota 2 is free.
Yeah.
And PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is like 25 quid.
Sure, that's also true. That's
It's mental.
Yeah.
Like, it was crazy that CSGO gets like 500,000, 600,000 players. That's like really high, and that's like a tenner or something.
Yeah.
So, right. I mean, it's
it is a phenomenon.
It's fucking huge.
Yeah.
It's Xbox One's killer app.
It is. It actually is. Do you think that's why the pre-order numbers are so high on Xbox One? X.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Mm. It sold out like instantly, didn't it?
Yeah.
The pre-orders.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it sold out, but it definitely broke records for any other console they've had, which is impressive. Although,
it's very good.
If you think about it, it makes kind of sense why this is the most successful console that Microsoft has had in terms of pre-orders. Because 360, like, no one was really excited for that when it was first coming out. Because Xbox wasn't, like, a massive hit. And then it became a hit as time went on. Xbox One got fucking stumped by PS4, like, from a marketing perspective in every single way. So no one pre-ordered that. Whereas this is like, people know what they're getting with this. So it does actually make sense if you think about it.
But they're getting nothing with it.
That's not true. Like, look, I got a 4K TV, 4K shit. When I played Edith Finch in 1080p after playing Uncharted, I was like, this looks... And obviously, the graphics in Uncharted are like spectacular, and that's a whole different thing outside of resolution. But I was like, this looks so fucking muddy and grimy. Ugh. Like, because I was just used... It's kind of like going to a DVD after Blu-ray. When you go up to Blu-ray, it's like, yeah, it's a little better, I suppose, but it's really hard to go back. I think that's kind of the same. Like, even though Uncharted's only up-res 4K as well, or, like, upscale... What's it called? The checkerboard rendering or whatever. It's not true 4K. I'm starting to get a bit used to it, and I do see the appeal. Like, it does look really nice. So,
yeah,
they are getting that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as important as games, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, soon you'll be able to play Final Fantasy 15 in true 4K.
I'm okay.
As it releases for the PC in early 2018.
Yeah, that's good. Maybe.
Yeah. It's like the definitive edition with fancy graphics and fancy NVIDIA effects.
Sure.
And it's 4K, and you can mod it, and you'll get all the DLC.
It looks really nice in that trailer. Like, it looks very impressive visually.
Yeah.
It was always a very nice-looking game. So, yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. It's a shame that that game's still not what it could have been, and never will be. But,
yeah,
it's decent. I liked it overall.
I was watching Joe stream it the other day.
Yeah.
Yesterday, in fact, and... Boy, like, just, like, transitions between cutscenes... Like, camera angles and stuff are so amateurish.
Yeah.
And awkward and uncomfortable. And, like, every single cutscene. Yeah. Not just, like, the pointless ones, but, like the big ones, like, in when you're in with Luna and that. Like, it's just like, oh, what's...
Yeah, none of it feels right. It all feels unfinished.
Yeah.
And
like, the bit on the train, which was the moment where I was like, oh, okay, this game finally makes sense. Like, watching it... After not having played it for like 20 hours, I was like, "Oh man, this is not what you're either." I guess it the first 20 hours or so readied me for mediocrity instead of slightly sub mediocrity.
I don't know. There's some good stuff in that game with the main characters and stuff. And
it has so much potential.
Yep. Next time, tell anyone.
They might be making a prequel for it about Arden.
Best character.
They're talking about. Yeah, maybe. He's pretty good.
He could have been great.
Yeah.
But I think...
he's good in the second half.
If I'd never played this game and I was playing it in a year when this Arden thing gets... there might be one for Luna as well. Like, if those two stories are good and they integrate in the game properly, it could have been a very good game overall. But I think the ship sailed for me, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think I can go back. I hope it's good, and I hope people who are new to it get to enjoy all of it together, and it feels good and cohesive, but it's too late for me.
I mean, Arden will be like a completely different fucking game, though.
Yeah, maybe.
Because, like, it's like it'll probably be like medieval and stuff, you know.
Yeah, well, the good factor in like Cloud's Past, though, you know, like that kind of thing. Like, this is my story.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying it'll be cool.
Yeah.
They can use the same world, but like change it significantly enough for it to be its own game.
Change some textures. Extent.
It could be fleshed out, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm interested in that game.
Okay.
If it ever comes to fruition, it's literally like, hey, maybe would you be interested in this, guys?
I'm interested. Yeah, I suppose I am, but I would be more interested if they just let it go and just did Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah. I mean, they're working on that at the same time,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah. You're right.
They're grinding away at 16 now.
Yeah, that game sold really fucking well. It'll probably do another million or so on PC as well. So it'll be one of the better selling Final Fantasies, which is... good for the future, Square.
I mean, you know, it's not 13, so it's got that going for it.
And like, look, Square are having a good generation in other aspects. Like, Neo is fucking phenomenal, and Dragon Quest, from all the import impressions from people who finished it over on NeoGAF, is meant to be fantastic as well. So,
Final Fantasy 14's plugging away.
Yeah, they're in good shape overall. I'm feeling better about Final Fantasy now than I was 10 years ago. So. Or even 5 years ago, so.
Yeah. They're on the right track.
Yeah.
Secret of Mana is being remastered.
Yeah.
In
well,
3D.
Remade.
Remade, yeah. I'm reading the headlines, so.
Yeah, fucking.
Eurogamer saw it out.
Another pet peeve.
Remade.
Remaster to me
being
is
remade.
When it's being up-res and stuff like that. Remake is when it's. Yeah, sure.
PS4, Vita, and PC.
Yeah, I don't like the look of it. Very much.
No.
I think I'd rather play just regular Secret of Mana.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can get that on the Switch.
£30 on Steam.
Yeah, I might just buy the Switch version in Japanese, and then when you've learned a bit more Japanese, and I have also learned a bit more, we can play it together. It's two-player.
It is two-player.
This time next year, that's our goal. We want to play through Secret of Mana and grasp 80% of it.
Sure. I've played the start of Secret of Mana before.
Yeah, me too.
It's okay. No, not for me. I don't know. Well, you know.
I've never played enough of it. I played like half an hour and I liked it.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Yakuza Kiwami 2 has been leaked by accident on the Taiwanese PlayStation Store. I guess, did they announce it officially since then?
Yeah, there was an event on Saturday where they announced a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Lots of interesting stuff. Shall we just get to that now? Yeah?
Yeah,
they announced Kiwami 2, first of all, as you've said, which is a remake of 2 in the Yakuza 6 engine. Looks beautiful. There's some stuff in the trailer which ties the overall story into some stuff from Yakuza 0, which wasn't previously there, apparently, which is very exciting. Haven't finished Yakuza 0. I won't spoil it. So don't watch that trailer. A tiger jumps on Kiryu in the trailer. He punches it. That's pretty good. It looks great overall, and it's out next month. Oh, no, sorry. It's out in December in Japan. So probably late next year in England or early 2019. Who knows? But it makes me want to hold off till they're all remastered before I play Yakuza 6, honestly, because I'm getting really into Yakuza in a big way at the minute. They also announced a Fist of the North Star game by the Yakuza team, which looks pretty cool. I don't know much about Fist of the North Star. It's a very beloved anime from like the... late 80s, early 90s, around there. It looks cool.
Looks very JoJo-esque.
Yeah, it's very, like that late 80s style, art style, which is nice. I much prefer it to today's anime style, I think. So yeah, that looks really good. Looks like a good fit, but I don't know much about the anime, so I can't really say.
Mm-hmm.
And they also announced Shin Yakuza, so like new Yakuza. With a new protagonist, and it was a very brief trailer in the Yakuza 6 engine. It's still in Kabukicho, and it was more just a trailer to introduce the character. So it showed Kiryu like fighting some dude, and then the new character came along and beat the dude up, and that was pretty much it. And they're also doing like a mobile version of it, or a mobile spin-off version of it, called Yakuza Online. Or maybe it's a completely different game, sorry, Yakuza Online, but it features the same character.
All right.
That's it.
Cool.
But like, we don't really know much about the brand new game.
I just realized I forgot about Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition.
Oh, yeah. That's a weird fucking thing.
They're making Final Fantasy 15 for phones.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but there you go.
Looks all right.
It's like little cartoon characters instead of people.
Yeah, if the backgrounds are pre-rendered, it would look really cool, I think. Like, kind of like a PS1 game in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
But,
It looks all right.
Yeah,
it
looks fine. And
it looks like it could potentially be better than the actual game.
Because it's got all side shit. It's just the story, yeah.
Yeah.
I bet you the story feels more cohesive.
Probably.
I bet you it does.
Just shave down all that boring shit.
Bet you it's a really good, like, 10-hour game, or 15-hour game. Oh, dear.
Probably.
It might come to the Switch as well.
Yeah, they seem to be hinting at the Switch, for sure.
That'd be nice.
They more or less confirmed it, really. It was, like, something that rhymes with Twitch, because it was on Twitch.
It would be cool if this game is good, and they did a new Final Fantasy in this style. That could be cool.
Like, yeah. They're cranking them out, the Tokyo RPG Factory.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. They're running them down the assembly line.
Yep.
Putting in the experience points.
I don't know. That Lost Sphere game looks okay, maybe.
Yeah. Could be good.
Yeah, Setsuna's meant to be decent.
Could be good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What else?
I think that's about it. I've got a non-Gamescom story, but it's not really...
Go for it.
...a big thing. Anything else? No. Got anything else from Gamescom? It's pretty flat. Okay, so there's a indie developer called... something. Acid Wizard Studio, who released a game called Darkwood this week, which is a horror game. They sell it as a horror game with no jump scares.
Okay.
A top-down game. And they released their game on Pirate Bay as well as Steam.
Oh.
Saying that they would rather people pirate the game than buy it on a key reseller website, because that just supports shady business practice.
Okay.
So, if you want to give it a go beforehand, before you buy, if you choose to buy, you can get it on Pirate Bay, and they're very open and happy to for you to do that. But they would appreciate if you buy it.
If you like it. That's cool.
Yeah, that's a good
kind of taking the punk band approach to selling your stuff.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, hopefully it works out for them if it's good.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think it's doing alright on Steam, so yeah. Weird time of year to release it.
Yeah. I don't have any more news either. It's been pretty quiet. But
yeah.
That Yakuza event was alright.
Mm-hmm. Gamescom was pointless.
But Sony never show up at Gamescom anymore. They've got Paris Games Week in October. Then.
PSX.
Yeah, so that's when we'll get the big stuff. Hopefully. Maybe.
They're saving it for E3.
Fucking hell.
2019.
What a man. There's enough games. Mario's out like in a month and a bit. 2 months, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yakuza Kiwami's
Mario
out tomorrow.
Mario Cross Rabbids is out tomorrow.
Oh, God. Yeah, it is.
I'm not getting it.
No?
I was genuinely thinking about it.
Even if the reviews are great.
They announced a season pass for it.
So?
Which is off-putting.
Oh, that's just games, though.
Bullshit.
There's a season pass for Ni No Kuni, but I'm still going to buy that game. Whatever. There's a season pass for Uncharted 4, and you got fucking Lost Legacy with it, which is a fantastic game.
Yeah, that was a good game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
I don't know. Yeah. And also just like the cutscenes and the dialogue bits.
Oh, yeah, that's why I'm not buying
very,
it.
Very, very Ubisoft.
Yeah, I don't have the time for that. Like, it looks like a good game, but fucking cut that rabbit shit out. Get it out of my face. Just make it Mario and Mario.
Yeah, Mario cross Mario.
Yeah.
At the Olympic Games.
If it was just Mario doing his thing with his friends, I'd be buying that game tomorrow for sure.
With guns?
Yeah. Why not?
Okay. I don't know. Just have him throw fireballs.
Make it a crossover with someone with a gun. Mega Man. Mega Man and Mario fight the rabbits. If you were murdering the rabbits, that would be okay, maybe.
You are fighting rabbits, innit?
Yeah, I know, but you're also
game.
You're also teaming up with them. Aren't you?
Yeah.
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 I don't want that shit.
Fucking rabbit Peach.
Yeah.
It's the fucking worst. Why?
Don't,
why?
Don't,
oh, man.
Don't kink shame the fans of Rabbit Peach, please. It's not acceptable. Everyone's in
there. Well, you know, the developer fucking cried when it got announced.
That was really nice, though.
Yeah.
It was class. I'm happy for him. No, look. People are going to enjoy this game. It looks like a good game. That's great. Good on the developers. All that stuff. But I don't like the rabbits. That's fine, too.
All right. Okay. I'm happy for him.
Right, that's
I'm happy
enough
for
podcast.
People who like rabbits and minions.
Oh yeah, we watched.
You do, you guys.
We tried to watch the Minions movie the other day because we make fun of the Minions so much that we were like, let's put it on. Couldn't get through the first 5 minutes.
God, it's yeah.
Couldn't do it.
I got through the first half an hour on the plane to Japan, and I was like, this is probably the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah. Like, I thought we were going to at least be able to laugh at each other and tease each other and be like, huh, that's your favorite minion. But we couldn't. It sucked the fucking life out of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. No offense to people who like the Minions.
The other thing, I watched the trailer, watched the gameplay of the first boss in Mario vs. Rabbids.
Yeah.
And they do the fucking banana thing as well. It's like, it's a banana, and he's like, ooh, a banana, and he eats it. And I was like, oh, bananas. Why is that funny?
I don't know. Because it's not aimed
at... I don't
understand. Because it's not for us, though. It's fine. It's aimed at kids. If we were kids, we'd probably fucking love it. Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I was playing fucking GTA when these kids were watching Minions at the same age. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I guess. Whatever. Crazy stuff. Whatever.
Bring back
Enjoy
Space
what
Ghost.
You like,
That's
everybody.
What
yeah. Space Ghost is good.
That's probably what I was watching at that age. Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway. The thing to take away from this is everybody just enjoy what you like. It's okay.
Yeah.
As long as it's not hurting anybody, specify.
Unless that person wants to be hurt, then that's fine too.
Yeah, but within reason.
Yeah.
Like,
safe boundaries and established boundaries, yeah. Okay. Mm. That's
Thanks
all
for listening
advice.
To the Pre-Alpha Podcast. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
See you next week.
Bye.